Last week and this week and the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about the Sabbath and what a blessing it is. And today, we're going to talk about celebration. So there's going to be a party here today. That's the whole hope. Now the rest of the service is just a continuation of what we already started. Celebrating together. In fact, the only reason that we know how to celebrate is because God has ordained it. Because God has shown us how, because He has inspired us. Painted faces, dancing, food, festivities. We learned this from God. He's the one that knows how to celebrate. And He's the one that inspires us how to do so. I just want to read this quick psalm. It says, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, everywhere, in all of the universe. You set your glory above the heavens, and from the lips of children and infants and even the oldest of adults, you have ordained praise. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you've set in place, what is man that you're mindful of them? What is mankind that you care for them? You've made them ruler over your works, over the flocks, over the birds of the air. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. If we were able to just step back and be able to see God in all of creation and everything He has made, our minds would be blown with how majestic He is, with how festive He is, with how elaborate He is. God is an elaborate, festive, mind-blowing God worth celebrating. And we're going to continue to do that today. I've got a slide up here for you. I hope I don't bore you to death. My hope is to just go through a few of the festivals that the Old Testament, that the Israelites went through, and how that may compare to today. How many of you know a little bit about the Old Testament festivals? How many of you would say, yeah, not so much. I really don't know a whole lot about Old Testament festivals. Okay, so this is just going to be like a quick run. Okay, because I want to get back to singing and worshiping and offerings and things like that. I don't want to take a whole lot of time here, but I have this beautiful slide that I made. Isn't that beautiful? I didn't make that. We totally stole that. Okay, so what you see, this outer, this works, but you can't see it, can you? Okay. On the outer circle here, starting with 1 all the way around to 12, that's the Israelites, that's their month. That's how they rolled, okay? It was based on a 7-week cycle, 28 days in a month. Every once in a while, their calendar would get out of whack, and they'd add an extra month, okay? After Adar there, number 12. You see how it coincides with our months, okay? So the beginning of their year starts there in the middle of our March, okay? And goes around. So at the top, what they have is you'll start to see these things on the outside: Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, weeks, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and around. That's the festivals that they celebrated year round. Okay? And roughly there were 7 festivals that they celebrated. Now, by the time they got to Jesus, there were around 10 or so. Okay? But this is what they did year in, year out. For 21 days at least out of the year, they would celebrate God. How many of you would like at least 3 weeks off of work each year? I was talking to a friend of mine. He's been working for a company for 4 years. He goes, yeah, I've got 8 days off. Woo, a whole 8 days. What do you do with those? Well, for 4 weeks, I go spend time with this, and 4 days, we go do this. I'm like, you've been working for this company for 4 years, and all you have is 8 days? That is hard. That's what that is. And no, it's not real life. I know plenty of people that have at least 2 weeks off. You know, I'm like, that's hard. You know, that's hard. That's hard stuff. So starting with Passover, you'll see in month 1, okay, month of Nisan, they had 3 celebrations back to back. Okay, they had Passover, they had unleavened bread, and they had first fruit. Passover was, if you remember, it was the celebration of, it was the last plague, right, when they were in Israel, when they were in captivity, they were Israelites in captivity, and they took the lamb, they sacrificed the lamb, and they put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost of their homes. And when the last plague came in and took the firstborn, The blood of the Lamb covered their lives. Okay? See the analogy into where we live today? The blood of the Lamb covered the doorposts of their lives, as Christ's blood covers us. So that was the beginning of this 8-day festival, because after the Passover, then they went into the Feast of Unleavened Bread, okay? And then they went into first fruits. And basically what they did during this festival is they ate bread with no yeast. It was a reminder to them that when they were in slavery, they had to quickly eat and get out of town, okay? And so they ate bread with no yeast in it, okay? And so they did this all week long. And then I believe it was the end of the barley harvest, and so there was an offering. And so they'd give an offering. 7 days, 8 days, they wouldn't work. They would celebrate. They would gather, and they would celebrate, okay? Then we go 7 weeks, 50 days down, we get to Pentecost in their third month, and the Christian church still celebrates Pentecost today as when the Holy Spirit came out onto the church. Back then, they celebrated Pentecost, but again, it was a harvest. It was their wheat harvest, I believe. And so, they would celebrate an offering. They'd have another big gathering. The whole Israelite community would come together, and they would celebrate. They just give the first fruits of their offering to God in praise and how He has provided for them. Then we get down to trumpets here at the end of the 6 months, and then you'd see there's three more right next to each other. This is another week-long celebration. Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles. Okay? Trumpets are currently now known as Rosh Hashanah. Age-old argument as whether this was the beginning of their civil year, which to us, that doesn't make sense. How many of you would start anything in the middle of something? Right? Like, the beginning of our year is when? January 1st. It's kind of like in the Wesleyan church, we say the beginning of a year is when? June 1st. So it's kind of weird, okay? So there's argument saying, well, this really isn't the beginning of their year, Nisan. That's the beginning. That's Nisan. It's not Nisan. Nisan's the anyway. It's awkward to start something new at the beginning or in the middle of their year. However, what they do agree on is that this was, again, a celebration where they would blow trumpets, again, for God's, because of God's providing for them. And this coincides biblically. In other words, when you look from Genesis to Revelation, trumpets were used as a means of ending something, as a means of victory. In Revelation, will sound, right? And that declares the end of what? The end of the age and the beginning of the new one. And so this is huge. The blasting of trumpets was marking the end of their festival year, the celebrations. Okay, and in looking towards another one. Okay, so then they come into Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement is where two lambies were chosen. One lambie was sacrificed. The other one was a scapegoat. That lambie would be led out into the desert, essentially to die. And that carried the sins of the community, okay? And so this celebration was one of confession and forgiveness. In my opinion, Day of Atonement is really the beginning of their year. Just as like we celebrate Easter, I don't know about you, but when we get to Easter, it's like this is the highlight of our year. And we're starting again, and we're celebrating again, another year with our Lord and Savior. The one thing I've always wondered in regard to Day of Atonement is, so two lambies were sacrificed. Sorry, just play with me here for a little bit. I wondered if in the midst of their festivities, you know, they lead this one goat, the scapegoat, out into the desert, right? This someone who was selected to lead him out. And then as the individual is walking back and he's joining the party and they're dancing and they're singing and they're celebrating, I wonder if that lambie ever found its way back. It would be like the plague walking back into town. You get what I'm saying? So they're having fun, and all of a sudden they just kind of stop as this lambie just kind of walks out, just kind of looking at everybody. I would think it'd freak everybody out. And for those of you who are like, it's too early, Matt, your jokes are dry, I apologize, but in my mind, that's funny, okay? And then they'd move into the Feast of Tabernacles. This was a seven-day stretch. And that is where they would build these huts, they would build these booths to remember how God provided for them throughout their 40 years of wandering in the desert. So even when they lived in homes and everything, they would go out. They'd go out in the desert, they'd go out the city gate, and they'd build these booths and they'd live in them as a way of saying, God, thank you for providing again for our lives. Later on, they added Hanukkah, and they also added, I think if you remember Esther, Purim, right? The Feast of Purim is when Esther, God used Esther to save the Israelites again from Haman, who is trying to basically wipe out the Israelites, okay? So there's two other festivals, and there was one more, but the point that I want to get is, I just wanted to just run you through these real quick. 21 days, 3 weeks at least, they celebrated unto the Lord. These were not just gluttonous festivals, okay? They didn't need a following week after these festivals because they had such a hangover from this festival, so they had to recover. These were unto the Lord. They didn't spend them just however they wanted to spend them. They celebrated. Their souls were rejuvenated. Sometimes they ate bitter herbs. Sometimes they stayed in booths when they had homes. Other times they kicked out the hugest party they could kick out. I want to read one more passage to you, which, by the way, if you want to read up on the festivals, most of them are found in Leviticus 23, and then it'll lead you to other spots in the Bible where it's found. I want to read one section here about the Feast of Tabernacles. On the 15th day, 7th month, hold a sacred assembly, no regular work. Present an offering made by fire, aroma pleasing to the Lord, of 13 young bulls. So you're going to sacrifice 13 young bulls, then you're going to do 2 rams, and then you're going to do 14 male lambs, along with some offerings, some grain offerings, and some drink offerings. I'm not a farmer. I don't have cattle, but I would think having to give up that on one day, that would cost you a little bit, right? But that's day one. Because then day two, we're going to do 12 young bulls, 2 rams, and again, 14 male lambs. And then 3 is going to be 11 rams and 2 and 14. And then day 4 is going to be 10. And then 9. When they celebrated, they celebrated. They gave of their best, and it wasn't just like, hey, yeah, why don't we just all eat bitter herbs every time and just suffer? No, it was a party. It was a celebration. It was a mix of a worship service and a little bit of Super Bowl party all in one deal. And the Sabbath year and the year of Jubilee, the weekly Sabbath was all part of that rhythm. It was all part of it. So today what we're going to do, we're going to continue to celebrate because this is how God has ordained life to be lived. Celebration rejuvenates your soul. It allows the rest of your life to be worthwhile. How many of you heard the phrase, I work to live, not live to work? I was reminded of that today. What we do from day 1 to day 6, that's not our life. That's not the sole purpose on why we live is producing. Now, if you're able to switch your mind and you're able to live into your week unto the Lord, then that is why you do what you do. Day 7 reminds us that we live unto the Lord, and we should do that every day of the week. And so we're going to continue to celebrate. We're going to celebrate much like they did. We're going to remember the good things of God. And so I'm going to encourage you to look back. Look back into your week. Look back into your month. Look back into the year. How has God provided? And we're going to sing praises to His name. Some of you have come, you have heavy hearts. You have things you need to confess. You have things you need to call out to God for. The altars are here. As the offering plate is passed, once that's done, you can feel free to come to the altar and pray. If you want to pray there, you can do that too. But I'm going to encourage you to call out to God and stay with Him until your heart is at peace. We're going to give an offering because most of the time when they had a celebration, they offered back good things. Offering isn't, when we celebrate our tithes and offering, we do celebrate it. It's not a church tax. It's not a membership club fee. God has given us everything we have. He has given us the manna. He has allowed it to sustain. And we give a tenth back to Him saying, "Thank you, Lord. It's yours in the first place. I have what I have because you've given it." So for those of you who may be new to tithing or wondering what tithing is, that's what it is. God says, "I ask for 10% as a means of saying thank you." And that's what we do. We give Him that tithe and we say, "Thank you, God." And He uses that to continue His church. And so we're going to celebrate. If Josh is going to come up, if the ushers want to prepare the offering plates, we're going to take an offering. And again, as Josh sings, after the offering plates have passed, I want you to feel free to use this time for prayer and celebration. The team is then going to follow right in after Josh. And we're just going to close the rest of this time out with singing prayers to God, singing songs to God, and lifting up His name. So let's pray. Lord God, thank You so much. Thank You for a wonderful day. I thank You for those who did not feel comfortable enough to come out. The roads made them nervous. The snow made them nervous. So they stayed home. There's no judgment there. We ask for blessing upon their life. We ask that as this community, as we celebrate, we're still celebrating with them. They're still a part of this family. And for us here, God, we praise Your name. And so I do ask that this would be a time of celebration. It's not a time of just singing songs. We're going to reflect on the good things that You've done in our life. We're going to give a portion back to You because You have been so good to us. We're going to come to You in confession with our burdens, and we're going to allow You to take them because that's what You want. You want to provide for our life. We would be foolish not to allow You to do that. So thank You, God, for loving us and for being so good to us. It's in Your great name we pray. Amen. That the Israelites were allowed to leave their tent. They were supposed to not go anywhere, do anything. They were to rest on the Sabbath day except for one time. And that was to gather to celebrate. That was it. In fact, I've always wondered if a Sabbath day walk was from the edge of their community to the center where the tabernacle existed. I have no proof of that. I've just always wondered. This is how far you can go today. This is your work today. It's to come and to celebrate God. A lot of times, church services are boiled down to performances and our minds being illuminated with a good preaching. If we're stretched mentally and emotionally, then we feel fabulous. But God says there's so much more. I want you to rest on the Sabbath day, but I also want you to do something, and that is celebrate. So we celebrated. We started anyway. And I encourage you to continue. Go from this place and rest, but don't forget to celebrate. And if you need to gather together with more people, more community to celebrate, do that. Celebrate God's name. Celebrate His goodness. Let's pray. Lord God, 24/7, the world says this is life, this is reality, this is what You are to be and do. It screams it at us to the point where that's what we believe. And you say, no, 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 no. 24/6. Because you created life, you know how it is to be lived. And there's times when we are simply to just push back. Push back by resting. Push back by saying, no more. No, not today. That's not going to happen today. It doesn't have to happen today. I'm not a producer. I'm not a bricklayer. I'm a child of the King. And He wants me to just be with Him. I'm not going to work today. And if I work today, it's only going to be one reason. I'm going to celebrate the name of God. If I break out a sweat, it's going to be because I'm praising Him. If I get tired physically, it's because I'm going to sing His name because He deserves it. And I am going to do it with the body of believers if I'm able. So God, we celebrate Your name. Not just come to get our mind blown with a great sermon, but to come for You, to remember the good things that You've done for us, to remember the good God that You are. We bring our sacrifices, our offerings to You. We bring our confession to You. It's an odd way of celebrating, but that is celebrating, bringing our confession to You, our sin, and saying, this is it. And then watching You, the Christ, the only King, taking our sins and forgiving us. We celebrate that. So today, Lord, help us. With this snow that surrounds us, and may it keep coming, may we celebrate You. May we celebrate all the things that You've done for us. It's in Your good name we pray. Amen.